T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Dolls. Next artist of the day. Such a good song. Oh, right here.
You're the only one ever believe in.
By the way, the just a little PSA here. The National World War I Museum will host several events this weekend to recognize Veterans Day as part of its weekend-long celebration. I might check this out. The museum will open the exhibition, The Vietnam War, on Friday, today. It's going to run through May 31st. So for those of you who have served in Vietnam or have dads or moms that served in Vietnam, brothers, sisters, whatever, aunts, uncles, there is going to be a special Vietnam War commemoration at the World War I Museum in downtown Kansas City. And that'll be open until May 31st. Festivus Friday coming your way at the top of the hour, brought to you by Michelob Ultra.
I feel good about mine this week.
Your grievance?
Yes.
Really?
Feel quite good about my grievance.
Now, who the hell is calling me from Phoenix, Arizona?
I would imagine that's
Decline. That is my fourth one today. For a long
from
time.
From Phoenix?
No. By the way, I'm going to read it to you because I don't want to play it because the phone number is in it. But my phone now... types out whatever I get as far as a voicemail is concerned. Listen to this one. I'm not going to play because the number's in it. It is important that you... I got this one yesterday morning.
I automatically delete that.
And it was from
it's
San
important
Antonio.
You urgently call us.
It was from San Antonio, I remember. And I thought, oh my God, this is USAA calling me for my insurance, because I was a little bit late on my bill this month. Turns out it wasn't. It is urgent that you call us back as soon as possible. Call us at our number before we begin with the legal proceedings against you.
No.
The number is 210 blank. I repeat, 210 blank. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, legal proceedings? What the hell have I done?
Yeah.
And then I realized, you know, this is just tip. And here, I'll play just a little bit of
it. Those scams, by the way, Scott, cause Americans to lose $10.5 billion a year.
I'll stop it before the phone number. Listen to this.
Kindly call us back as soon as possible on our number before we begin with the legal proceedings against you.
Oh, she sounds so nice.
Yeah, kiss off.
My friend got one that said,
deleted.
Before the cops come and take you to jail.
I got one of those yesterday.
The cops. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I got one of those yesterday, and because I have like a 30-minute commute in, sometimes I don't have anything to do. So guess who just kept calling back over and over and over again and screwing with them for the entire length of my commute?
You.
Yep.
You really need to find a podcast you like. And
I have a podcast I like. I was doing a public service.
And when they would answer, what did you say?
I would say, yeah, I missed a call from this number. I was told I needed to contact you straight away, and they'd say, can I have your name and social security number? And
nope.
I said, well, since you called me first, you obviously already have all those things on file.
They just flat out stone cold asked you
yes.
for your name and social security
yes.
number.
Yes.
Like you give out your social security number willy-nilly to anybody who calls.
Yes. Apparently they thought I was that stupid. And to quote cartoon character and philosopher Peter Griffin, I may be an idiot, but there is one thing I'm not, sir, and that, sir, is an idiot.
I mean, I thought these things were dead
for a while. Well, they are, and you can put blocking mechanisms on your phone. And let me tell you, if you have elderly if you have elderly relatives, take their cell phone and get all of the free blocker apps that are out there. I've got two or three of them. It has helped. It hasn't stopped it, but it's helped. Because, Scott, you know that that's fake, and we'll know that it's that fake. You get a lonely 82-year-old woman on the phone who thinks they're going to come and arrest her.
But, like, lately, and I've only gotten a few of these lately, but it will always come up on my phone as spam risk, okay?
Right.
So, obviously, I don't answer it. And I would get those about once a week. And then all of a sudden, starting yesterday, with the call us now, we're about to file back up. And I've gotten four today.
See, and that's why I don't do what Will does, because I feel like if you answer the phone or call back, that somehow, and this is probably an old wives' tale, triggers some system where they go, oh, we got a live one here.
Yeah, we got a live one.
He thinks this is real. He called back, and then they pass the number around.
See, and so I got the one yesterday from San Antonio. Then I just got one just now from Phoenix while we were just starting this hour. I got a couple others this morning from, like, San Diego or wherever. And I'm like, I know I don't know anybody in San Diego, so I didn't answer it. But I got one this morning from Spring Hill, Kansas, Johnson County. And I'm thinking, okay, this must be somebody that I know that, you know, because I hadn't gotten spam calls in a long time. So I pick it up, and I said, begrudgingly, and I go, hello, you know, totally annoyed voice, hello, and I hear all this clatter in the background, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, what's going on? Hello, sir, I'm calling you about your Medicare.
No.
And I'm like, I'm not on Medicare!
I have two different numbers that go to my cell phone. I can instantly tell what number someone is calling on when it comes to the robocalls.
Yeah.
Because they usually try to get a number that is somewhat local to yours. And so
I get a lot from KCK.
Yeah. I mean, my phone numbers, my phone numbers here are local to Omaha and Boise. And so I can always tell if it's a 402. Okay. Omaha's calling me on, they're calling me on that line, and if it's a 208, well, I know they're calling me from, they're calling me on the work line.
Huh. Yep, it all started yesterday. I'm looking at my call list. Sorry, it started on Wednesday. I got one from KCK on Wednesday. Yesterday, I got San Antonio, KCK, Washington, D.C., and Spring Hill, Kansas, and one that just says United States. And another from KCK. So I got six yesterday.
To your question, Dana, about the whole old wives' tale, we got a live one here. And considering what I did earlier, would it also not work that if you routinely call them back and just are a gigantic pain in their ass, aren't they?
Doesn't that go into a database?
Right. If the fact that you answer the phone goes into a database, wouldn't the fact that you are a colossal waste of time and aggravation also go there?
But Will, you would think, right?
Yeah.
Because I got a, remember, Dana, I told you this story. I got a call like 3 months ago. Maybe this is why it stopped for a while. I got a call like 3 months ago from some guy who clearly was from India or somewhere not in this country, I would assume. And I answered it, and I said, because it was like a KCK call, right? And I'm like, hello, and very thick accent, not to say that you can't have a thick accent and be from the United States. That's not what I'm trying to say.
But it is a red flag in an instance like this.
Sure. And he tries to start selling me on something. And I said, sir, I was very polite. I said, sir, I would appreciate it if you put me on the do not call list. Long pause, and he screams at me over the phone, F you.
Yep.
And I literally, I mean, I went full blown.
You went crazy.
I went crazy. I go, what did you just say? And he goes, F you. And then I started screaming, F you, you son of a blah, 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 you mother blank, blank, blank. And he just clicks.
And you say after that the call stopped for a while?
Yep, stopped for about 3 months. And now they've just started back up. I've got four calls today. Billings, Montana, KCK, Spring Hill, and Phoenix, Arizona.
You need to download that app on your phone, and your carrier also has one. And the apps I have are free. It's like called RoboStop or something. And it was a listener that actually told us about this. It does help.
Okay.
It doesn't stop them, but it helps.
You know what else stops? them telling you to go F yourself.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe you should go back to being verbally abusive.
Very effective tool in your communication toolkit.
I mean, I did not know the person that I became when he said that to me. I mean, I lit up like a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
I get the calls from my own phone number.
I've heard that.
That's happened.
It's ringing, it's my own number, and I'm like, okay, well, this is obviously not me calling me, so.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Wait.
Sam?
Hello? Wait. Is it me? Hello? Hello?
Are you calling me from the future?
This is you 10 minutes from now. 576-7798. We'll do Festivus Friday coming to you at 5 o'clock. I love this song.
I just called.
Same.
To say I love you. I just called to say how much I care.
This is one of those songs that just makes me happy to be alive.
I just called.
Yeah, well, I'm annoyed right now.
To say I love you.
Stevie Wonder from 1984, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. I have decided, because you are a Stop the Planet person.
Stop the Planet, I want to get off. That's
okay.
Correct. Yes.
I get to have a Stop the Planet.
Okay.
But yours are all over the board. I mean, it's usually something about tree-hugging, non-showering people that drives you crazy.
Lawrencians.
Mine is going to be a singular topic. Every time I see one, my head explodes.
Okay.
A plane crashed a couple months ago in Texas. And when that happens, you know, the FAA comes in. It takes a while to figure out why the plane crashed. So the crash was a while ago. Thankfully, the pilot survived. The FAA came out with its report a couple of hours ago. In yet another case of a gender reveal gone horribly wrong.
Oh, geez.
An airplane crashed mid-reveal after the pilot dumped 350 gallons of pink water out of the aircraft, which then stalled and hit the ground.
Mm-hmm.
The pilot and passenger were flying in the one-seat aircraft.
It's a one seat, but there were two people in it?
Wow.
Was he on his lap?
That also might have caused things to go awry.
Nope. The FAA says it was the gender reveal. The NTSB says the airplane, which was flying at a low altitude, got too slow after discharging the pink water, aerodynamically stalled, impacted terrain, and came to rest inverted. I love that they said impacted the terrain. It crashed because some idiot thought they'd pay a pilot to dump pink water over their field.
We were inverted.
Yeah, I've got
news. I think we should start jailing people for the gender reveal gone wrong. They need to go to jail.
I think we should start jailing people for the gender reveal, period.
You know, we had the idiots in Iowa shooting at it, and it exploded, and that explosion was felt 2 miles away. Sadly, we had the grandmother die, also in Iowa, over the gender reveal. And now we have a plane crash.
Here's how you do a gender reveal. You ready? We're having a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
I'm so happy for you, Will.
Thank you.
That's it. That's all you have to do.
Oh, you guys are having a baby?
No. But that is a reenactment of how a gender reveal is to be done.
One of them ignited a massive wildfire earlier this year. It just needs to stop.
You know, there are a handful of things that if I don't mean to grieve prior to 5 o'clock, but if I may, there are three things that I can think of that just drive me nuts.
One
is the new, it's not a new trend, but it's been going on for a while, but it certainly wasn't around when I was a kid. The parents who apparently think they're not good parents or need to overdo the parenting and decide to make sure that everyone knows as you pull into the high school parking lot that their child just turned 16 today.
B.
The gender reveal without a doubt.
Three.
I'm trying to remember what it was.
All right, Rick Perry. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, the woman who started this whole thing now says, like many of these things that go horribly bad and become so annoying, that she is sorry she was the first one. She was the first one to do it. She posted it online. It went viral. And now everyone thinks everyone in the world has to know what you're having.
Hmm.
She actually did it way back in 2008. So listen to this from The Cut. By 2019, the trend has reached its breaking point due to over-the-top, embarrassing, and dangerous consequences that range from disgusting-looking food to a 47,000-acre forest fire. The woman says she started to feel guilty.
Really? After you started a 45,000-acre forest fire, you started to feel guilty?
No, her idea has now turned into this thing.
Thank you, Texter. Number three is the promposal. These things drive me nuts. The overdone, will you go with me to prom proposals are driving me out of my mind. Just go up to the girl at her locker at school and say, hey, Cindy, would you like to go with me, to prom with me?
Yeah. That's not difficult.
We don't need the sidewalk chalk with you standing out there like John Cusack from Say Anything with some sign over your head with a ghetto blaster. I mean, give me a break. Sorry. I just sounded like an old man.
I wanted a moment to share my get off the planet story, which again is going to be singular topic every time a forest fire burns down or a plane crashes.
And I hijacked it during your gender reveal.
I hijacked it.
I'm sorry.
I did hijack it.
I beg your pardon.
But when people, you understand what I'm saying. When people are dying or almost dying,
you're going too far.
So you can post the gender, which no one cares outside of the immediate family of that pregnant woman.
How did you tell your parents?
I called them.
Yeah. We're expecting another boy.
I actually, as a joke, I was on speakerphone with number four. And Austin was in the car with mom and dad. And I go, okay, well, it was good talking to you guys. Love you. I'm pregnant. Bye. And I hung up. That's what I did.
Oh, my God.
Gender not reveal.
Pregnancy reveal.
And no one died.
Sun is hot and that old clock is moving slow, and so am I. Workday passes like molasses in wintertime, but it's July. I'm getting paid by the hour and older by the minute. My boss just pushed me over the limit. I'd like to call him something. I think I'll just call it a day. Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane.
It's story here from Sports Illustrated. Kent State Center Kalen Bennett provided one of the first highlights of the college basketball season on Wednesday night. Bennett, who has autism, made his debut in Kent State's 97-58 win over Hiram. He entered the game with 6 minutes remaining and made a left-handed hook shot in the post with 2:30 left in the game to become the first player with autism to score in a Division I game.
Say that again, because I had to read that twice, and it is true.
To become the first player with autism to score in a Division I game.
That seems like something that would have already happened.
I would have thought so too, Will.
Yeah.
The 6'11", 300-pound freshman from Little Rock went 1-for-3 with 2 rebounds and 1 block. Now, I understand we have some audio from this.
Yes, because after the game, Scott, this is so sweet. His teammates cheered him on as he rang the victory bell. It's the greatest, loveliest story.
He went on to say, for my mom to see it was really big for me. Can we hear from Kalen Bennett if you have the audio?
I used to not like people at all. Like, I didn't like being around, surrounding myself with people at all.
His hoop dreams brought him out of that shell. And in turn, Kent State discovered him. Possibly the first athlete with autism to sign a letter of intent with a D1 school. Kalen credits his mom with helping keep his eyes on the prize.
Because he was like, I don't think I can do that. I say, you can do it. And you're going to do it. You're going to be great.
Well wishes now flood his Instagram. You give a mom like me hope. There was a time when Kalen's mom was told he would never talk, let alone dunk. So let's give him the final word.
The reason I'm being recruited is not because of autism. That's not the reason for me. I'm a great basketball player.
And a great human being. Kevin Tibbles, NBC News.
Isn't that so lovely? Scott, he did not learn to walk until age 3. He did not begin to talk until age 7.
Wow.
And he went to a basketball pep rally in the 3rd grade and decided he wanted to try the sport. And a doctor said, you know what? This could be good for him. He used his love of math.
So he's pretty far on the spectrum. Is that the way I understand this story?
You know, I don't know. It says he used his love for math to help him learn the playbook on his AAU team. He excelled at basketball in middle school and high school and made history last fall as the first person with autism to sign a letter of intent with the Division I school.
How do they know that?
I don't know.
I mean, you're telling me that of all the thousands of players who've ever played, and I'm not doubting this story.
Yeah.
I just find that a little bit hard to believe. Of all the players who have played college Division I basketball, he's the first one ever with autism?
Maybe the first to be, formally diagnosed.
Known, I think. Yes.
I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of kids who have autism. You know, maybe they're closer to the center on the spectrum, if you will, that have played Division I ball.
Just the fact that he didn't walk until age 3 or talk until age 7, and he's now doing a news conference about this game is, is it actually about made me cry. I have friends who have kids with autism, and it's just a good feel-good story. And you heard some of the comments online from other parents saying that this kid gives me hope for my child.
You know, I will always ask this question, and I don't know that I've ever gotten the answer. And don't call and say the vaccines, because we took vaccines back in the 70s too. Where was autism when we were kids? Were they just sheltered away somewhere else where nobody had to see them? And I don't mean that derogatorily. I just mean that as
we did have a tendency to kind of shelter people who were outside of the norm.
We had a special classroom when I was in elementary school. I remember this. A special classroom for special needs kids. Okay,
I don't remember that.
We had a special in Topeka, Kansas at Crestview Elementary.
We did.
There was a different classroom. And for all kids of all ages, they went to that classroom. And there were mats in there and there were swings. And I'll never forget when I was 5 or 6 years old, I said to my mom, they have balls and playthings in there and there's a swing. And I said, they're lucky to have that. And my mom said to me, those children work very hard every day. And that is their classroom. And that's a different classroom than yours. But that is not fun. That's not fun time when they're in there.
Okay. My grievance is that Scott is a Debbie Downer. What did I say?
He just said, really, the first one? Is that probably what?
I'm assuming. I have no idea.
I don't know, Scott. I think it was around. I don't think we had the maybe we didn't have the tools to diagnose it as well as we do today.
Now, I will say this. I do believe there's autism and what is the other one? Oh, ADHD, of course. I do believe we had ADHD when we were kids, but I don't know that it was recognized because
it certainly was not to the extent that we're seeing it today.
And again, not trying to be derogatory, but we used to call those kids spazzes. We used to think they had too much sugar in their system. And so, you know, you would see Billy at school and he would just be acting up and, you know, his hands were constantly moving. And you would just say, Billy's a spaz. Spazoid was the other word.
The CDC actually came out this last year and bumped the instances of autism from 1 in 68 to 1 in 59. It is 1 in 59, Scott.
For autism?
That's what this says. Nationally, 1 in 59 children had a diagnosis on the autism spectrum disorder by age 8 in 2014. That's a 15% increase over 2012. But estimates vary. Listen to this. With a high of 1 in 34 in New Jersey, where researchers had better access to education records.
You don't think we're overdiagnosing this?
No.
1 in 34?
I think this is one of those things that we're continuing, perhaps more so than other things. We're continuing to learn more and more about how wide-reaching it is, how broad it is, and as a result, we're getting more diagnoses.
And where were the autistic kids, though, when we were kids?
They were in rooms
in
like Dana described.
Special ed classes, I think, the gender gap has decreased. This is from AutismSpeaks.org, and they're looking at research from the CDC. Boys are 4 times more likely to be diagnosed than girls. 1 in 37 for boys, 1 in 151 for girls.
Okay.
The difference was narrower than it was the last time they looked at the numbers. So that gap is shrinking between boys and girls.
Let's go to Bob and Gardner. Bob, hello.
Hey, I just wanted to comment. You guys got it right on the head. Anytime they consider having a learning disorder back in the day, they would put you in special ed. And then you had to compete with just the basic learning skills. They would not, if you had a high IQ on testing or whatever, or couldn't take tests, it was all based on testing. And they would all, if you couldn't pass the test or had a disciplinary problem or any kind of learning disorder, no matter what it was in, they would automatically put you in special ed.
Could you get out of special ed, or once you were in special ed, you were stuck in special ed, so to speak?
Well, once you get to high school, I mean, because I was, I have ADHD very badly. I have to be very structured in the way I learn and the way I process things. And in testing, even to this day, testing tenses me up. And if it's a verbal test, I can pass it just fine. But if it is a sit down, I got to read and everything,
yeah,
there's no way I'm going to pass it. So, so anytime that, I mean, because I was put in with the classes with the autistic kids, and it wasn't that they are not intelligent. Their speech may be off, or the certain changes can throw them on into a temper tantrum, and they can be very self-abusive. They just put you in special ed. If they considered you a special needs kid, that you were stuck in there and you had to take their math classes and their reading classes and all of that, the history classes, everything was dumbed down.
And Bob, how long ago was this for you?
Well, I'm 54 now, and I actually was diagnosed my senior year in high school when they finally figured out what the heck was wrong with me, and that's when I started getting counseling and help with how to manage it, how to do my time management, the thought processing processes on like keeping focus and stuff like that. So
what do we do with these children today? Are they just in the school?
Oh yeah,
they are.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I ask out of ignorance because I just don't know.
Scott, we have gotten, the one thing we've gotten so much better at is tailoring education for differences in the way people learn, like Bob just said, okay?
Okay.
So even in college, they have a university office of accommodation. And so if you're Bob today and you go to any college,
you walk in, you say, I've got severe ADHD.
You go in and you have to have a diagnosis.
Sure.
There are now all kinds of resources to help people like Bob, and he would not have had that when he went through school, where they will say, you can take a verbal test. Mm. Because it's not that you don't know it, it's just that you communicate and take in information in a different way than the majority. And so I applaud that. I think the high schools are doing it.
Well, I got no problem with that.
And certainly the colleges are doing it.
576-7798, 576-7798. Festive Friday coming your way right after the top of the hour news. Hit it! Get up! We're going to do Festive Friday, my friends, coming up in just a few more minutes. So hang tight for that. Last night, or this week, I should say this week, I believe it was Wednesday night, in fact, Kent State center Kalen Bennett became the first known Division I athlete with autism to score a basket in a Division I basketball game. 6'11", 300-pound freshman from Little Rock. He went 1-for-3, had 2 rebounds and 1 block. Mariam in Blue Springs. Hello, Mariam.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello there.
Long time fan. Been listening since 2009 with my mother.
Aw, thank you.
You go way back. Welcome.
Yes. I'm 36. I was diagnosed at 34 with autism. We're known as the Lost Girls because we mask so well that people don't realize we have it. I went to a private school locally and was able to succeed because of great teachers and people who noticed something different but didn't call it out.
Hmm. at age 34.
Yes, ma'am.
And what were you called, or what do you are you called?
The group is called the Lost Girls because they didn't know where to put us. We were diagnosed with other things like eating disorders because we had problems with like our stomachs when we get anxious or being out in public or loud noises and things. Hmm. So we learned to mask these things. So we get diagnosed with many other things like personality disorders, severe depression, anxiety disorders.
Hey, Miriam, this is fascinating to me because, you know, Scott has said before, where are the people our age who had autism? You would be one who had it. They just didn't know what to call it or how to help you.
Correct. I remember going to many doctors, and they would think I was a hypochondriac because I always felt sick or felt like something was wrong, had a lot of stomach issues based on anxiety, separation anxiety, which they didn't know then either. So they just thought I was a very emotional child.
So you knew, hang on, breathe softly. So you knew something was wrong, but nobody knew what was wrong with you.
Correct.
Huh.
And then how did they finally make the diagnosis at age 34, Miriam?
I went to a local comprehensive mental health.
Yeah.
And he asked me probably about 2 hours of questions. And when he told me, I just cried because it was so nice to have a name for it.
And he said it was autism?
He actually called it Asperger's, but they don't use that anymore. But it's on the spectrum.
Got it.
They used to call it high functioning, but a lot of people prefer the term of the spectrum.
So let me ask you this. How has it changed your daily life?
It makes me understand why when I go somewhere that I just want to go into a corner and hide, or sometimes I want to cry. It helps me. And then my partner's daughter also was recently diagnosed, so I feel like I can help her as well.
And you have seen in the education system, Miriam, the change in the resources for the kids today versus what they had when you were a child.
Yes, I was very scared when they said they wanted to put my daughter, she's not my daughter technically, but I've known her for most of her life, into what they called special needs classes, because that was a scary thing when we were kids. That was just a room that they left them in sometimes.
Yeah, they even called it at our school, Miriam, LD. And I never knew what that was when I was little. I just knew it sounded scary.
Learning disabled.
And Miriam, hang on the line real quick. I want her to hang on real quick, but they called it LD. But it was very like, oh, he's an LD. I remember when I was little thinking, well, that's a place that sounds like you don't want to go.
Well, Will just said it stood for learning disabled.
Yeah, but when I was a kid, I didn't know that. I just knew that it had this sinister two letters, and everyone always said it like that it was something bad.
I'm going to take a gamble here. Jeff and KCK. Jeff, hello.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing well. Thank you, my friend.
I think you're just contributing to the myth that surrounds autism. I have a son with autism, and, you know, I get questions like, oh, what's his special talent, you know? You know, the savant syndrome, I've done my homework on this, and the savant syndrome manifests itself slightly more amongst autistics, but it's estimated that half of all autistics don't even speak. You know, those people aren't going to be making no baskets at any basketball game.
Jeff, the Rain Man example is also extremely rare, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I said. The savant syndrome is extremely rare, and it manifests itself slightly more amongst autistics.
But you said we were contributing to the stigma.
How are we misrepresenting it? I don't understand that.
Like, oh, hey, here's this nice, happy thing, you know, when there's half of them out there don't even speak. And I also disagree with the fact that there were just as many our age. So where's the half that don't speak? Where are we keeping all these 50- and 60-year-old autistics?
Well, but can't you just be happy, Jeff, for the kid that didn't speak till age 7 that made his first basket in a Division I game?
No, I'm definitely happy for that, and it definitely gives me hope. I've seen my son make a lot of progress that I didn't know he would do, that you wouldn't have thought would happen. Like a 7-year-old that didn't even speak, you didn't think he would do that. That's great. That's wonderful. But how come we're not putting the story about the poor lady who couldn't get help and ended up with murder-suicide because she had a nonverbal Well, I mean, autistic son she couldn't control. We don't see them stories. We just hear the happy.
Which, Jeff, is absolutely horrible. I would disagree with you that we don't talk about those stories, I especially with the adult population and the training that police departments go through. We certainly talk about those stories, but the story today wasn't about that. It was about this kid who went on to play Division I basketball.
We're going to do Festus Friday coming up here.
Why would we bring murder into that?
We're going to do Festus Friday here coming up in just a moment. Get in early with your grievances on this Friday afternoon, 576-7798. If you don't feel comfortable talking on the radio, you can always text in your grievance at 22980, 576-7798, or on the text line at 22980. Festus Friday is next. It is brought to you by Michelob Ultra.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.